With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
We have been blessed, actually, to have a Pittsburgh woman who is also a brilliant professor who's been in Tel Aviv. Heck, she worked in Afghanistan, wrote two books out of there. She's a scholar on a Fulbright fellowship, and she's working at Tel Aviv University, and she's going through this war with her family. And she's been so wonderful about checking in. You said something, Jen, in your post about it's like COVID over here. What do you mean?
Well, you've got families home with kids, right? There's no schools. A lot of businesses are shut down. And, you know, so I think there's just a level of exhaustion from parents. And there's a lot of funny videos coming out that we're seeing all over the internet of, you know, parents in bomb shelters with their kids trying to cook dinner. Right. Remote schooling. My kids are on remote school right now. So there's a lot of, and then, you know, parents still have to work. And so there's not only the stress of that kind of thing. And then there's war. Right. So then every couple hours you get these alerts, you got to run to the bomb shelter. You got to take care of your kids, got to make sure everyone's okay. And Lord forbid that you have loved ones who are in the military. Right. And this is a very small country of around 10 million people. About half of the country has served in the military, and there's a lot of people have been called up for reserves in recent weeks. So we knew something was happening.
Hey, describe the last 24 hours in terms of the shelter and your kids and everything going on.
So last night we had three alerts. One was at around 11. One was at 1 a.m. and one was at 4 a.m.
Wow.
So. Everything was fine, but there was a big barrage that came last night from Lebanon. And I think this made the news in the U.S. It hit northern Israel. It didn't hit us here, but there were about 200 rockets that were that came from Lebanon. And we heard rumors all day long that something big was happening at night. We heard, I don't know how people knew, but there were rumors I was hearing. That something big was going to happen, and it kicked off last night, but it hit northern Israel, not us here in the center. But we were all worried about that because I think, as I've mentioned before, when we get bombs, you know, missiles from Iran, we get about 2 minutes. The Israeli military knows something's been launched, and it takes about 2 minutes, minute and a half for those missiles to make it to Israel.
Oh,
so they give you a warning.
How, Jen? What do you hear? What happens? How do you hear it?
Your phone. Okay. Your phone. And every phone in the country, whether you like it or not, you get this sound. And it's a sound.
I see.
And it wakes everybody up, and here's your alert. You got 2 minutes. And then it means you get to your shelter.
And hold on, Jen, is 2 minutes enough time? Like, where do you physically go? Where do you go?
Yes. So in our house, we have a safe room in our apartment. Okay. So every house that's been built in the past 25 years by code is required to have a safe room in their apartment. So one day I'll take you through our safe room. Yeah. We got steel plates on the windows, a big steel door. It's reinforced concrete, steel in the concrete, like you barely get internet connection in there. It's just like a bedroom. You wouldn't know it, right? If you didn't look at the windows carefully or see this big, heavy steel door. So every family goes in those. Wow. And if you live in an older building, every block has a shelter that you run to. I'm out and about. If I'm not at home, I just follow everyone. I see where they're running and I just go and follow them. Yeah.
How long can you endure this?
I mean, how long we sat home from Pittsburgh Public Schools for 2 years, right?
That's true.
you know, I think that there's a willingness to endure this because there's hope on the other side, big hope on the other side for what this means for the region. I think people are willing, people are tired. I got to tell you, Marty, after, you know, COVID here, they had the war in Gaza that lasted 2 years. A lot of people lost their lives, you know, both after October 7th and then during the war. Not a lot has been told about all the Israeli soldiers that died during that conflict as well. So, and then a lot of people served in the reserves for 2 years. So they were called up and they serve. You got young families, and a lot of the young families are the ones bearing the brunt of this. So I think that's where the exhaustion is. If I were to say, where is a crack? It's going to be in those young families. People have a lot of kids here,
yeah.
Both the religious and the secular families. It's got the highest birth rate of any of the OECD countries.
Wow.
People have kids. It's a happy place. There's all these surveys taken about Israel, about levels of happiness. And Israel is always at the top of the list. They got, you know, strong family, strong sense of community. People are never really by themselves here. And you really feel that. So I think that helps people get through things and builds a resilience. But there is a real level of exhaustion from this. But I think we're just at the beginning of this.
So, Jen, if this happens three times in the middle of the night, you wake up your kids every time, right?
Absolutely.
And are they cool?
Absolutely.
How do they adapt? Or are they adapting?
They just go.
Wow.
They don't even think about it anymore.
Wow.
I think the first time my 11-year-old daughter got pretty rattled, is anyone, what is that noise? And, you know, when you hear the, we heard a hit. It's one of the first nights of the war. We heard a hit about a quarter of a mile from our house and it shook our building. Hasn't been a hit since in the past 10 days in Tel Aviv. Despite what people are seeing on the internet,
yeah.
I want to be clear about that. But what you do hear is these interceptions, which are quite loud, and there are hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of them. And so it just sounds like big, fat, you know, lightning, thunder, really loud thunder.
Hey,
but
what?
The kids hear the alerts. They know exactly where they got to go.
So what are the Israeli people, what do they want? Ultimately, what would you like to see happen from the end to this is what for you?
I think what they want to see is an Iran that leaves them alone, just leaves them alone. They don't want Iran funding these terror networks on their borders. So Hezbollah is one, right? All of their munitions and money come from Iran. Hamas, munitions, weapons, money came from Iran. The Houthis, remember they were lobbing missiles, causing problems, right, in the Red Sea? Money was from Iran. So Iran has just been dead set at destroying Israel. They talk about death to America, death to Israel. Well, Israel is just closer. And they say that, you know, this is the head of the beast that's closer. This is the one that they're going to destroy first. And then they're going to destroy the United States second. We have to believe them when they say that because they've invested heavily in doing it. They don't, you know, I think that a lot of Israelis I talk to really do believe that they're willing to sacrifice for freedom, for the Iranian people. They want the Iranians to have democracy. There's a whole bunch of hundreds of thousands of Iranian Jews here, actually, in Israel, who left after 79. A lot of people speak Farsi here. There's deep ties. Before 1979, there were huge ties between the people of Israel and the people of Iran. So there's not like ancient hatreds. This isn't a religious war. The Iranians made it about that, but it's a very recent thing. The Israelis just want to be left alone, and they're hoping that whatever has happened will weaken that regime. So they're not building nuclear weapons, trying to destroy them, and not providing weapons to groups like Hezbollah who are here to destroy Israel as well.
Jen, who's live in Tel Aviv with her family and her husband. Hey, let's be honest. They've had war there for thousands of years. How in the hell would anybody actually believe that Israel will ever be left alone? Honestly, Jen, honestly, that's pie in the sky fantasy, right?
Maybe. But you know, I don't believe in these. There were periods of history where Jews and Muslims, for example, Jews and Christians got along in this part of the world. And I would say prior to October 7th, there were a lot of rays of hope. We had the Abraham Accords, which was completely unprecedented. I was flying to Israel from Dubai.
Wow.
That was unthinkable 10 years ago. Now, when you go to the Tel Aviv airport, the number one destination are Arab countries. more than Europe. There were and actually the most many of the rescue flights that are bringing Israelis back are going through Dubai. So those ties have remained intact. And what I think we're going to see after this war is actually strengthening of those ties, because look what Iran's doing. Iran is targeting all of its Arab neighbors.
12 countries.
All of the 12. Arab, all
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
That's only going to strengthen Israel's connections with those neighbors, because we were hearing about Saudi normalization with Israel, right? These were things that were not crazy ideas. I think that we're on the precipice. Maybe I'm just, you know, too hopeful, Marty. I've talked to you about
I love
hopeful
you.
Person.
I think you're amazing.
But there's a lot of reasons, financial reasons, technology reasons. Now, I think the rest of the Middle East sees what a powerhouse Israel is from a financial perspective, a technological perspective, a defense tech perspective, AI perspective. There's a lot of things here that other countries in the region want to be part of and want to learn from.
What time is it there?
It's 7:20 at night.
Wow. Did you eat dinner already?
I went out with a friend of mine.
What'd the kids have?
Yeah.
What'd the kids have?
I got the kids some takeout.
Takeout?
I actually got them some Uzbek takeout. There was an Uzbek, Uzbekistan.
Wow.
Okay. There are a lot of Uzbeks here. I lived in Uzbekistan for a long time, and there's a guy who has a food cart right outside our place. And I was talking to him. I said, "This looks like Uzbek food." He goes, "Yeah, my family came from Central Asia here 30 years ago." He's Jewish, you know, from an old Jewish community in Central Asia. And he says, you know, here's a funny story. He says, my wife's Ukrainian, okay? Ukrainian Jewish. He's lived here his whole life. He said he came to Israel when he was 4, like a lot of Jews from the former Soviet Union did. And I said, how's life? How are you doing? And he says, we're doing okay. We don't have a safe room in our apartment. So we've been staying with my wife's cousin. Okay, with my in-laws, and they have a safe room, and all of us, like 20 of us, packed into this room.
Wow.
And he says, you know, I've had enough with my in-laws. I'd rather take a bomb from Iran than have to deal with them anymore.
Hell yeah. Jen, you're the best. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime.
Be safe,
anytime.
My friend. I love that woman. She's been amazing to us. Hell of a woman there. Jesus. Why I like her so much is because she tells it like it is. And why I like it so much and I get feedback about from folks is that it kind of gives you perspective about how they live. They live in a war zone and follow law right through it. It's crazy. Yeah, we had takeout. Yeah, we were in the safe room 3 times. Yeah, they're exploding all around. It's actually amazing. The intestinal fortitude of the Jewish people is insanely amazing. She said a couple things that are actually magnificent. I see the same thing with the Jewish community in Pittsburgh. They're galvanized, man. They're tight. They focus on family, faith, their religion, each other, taking care of business, God. And their resolve is amazing. Their work ethic is amazing. Their commitment to family. Think about if that's you. What did she say? She got up 3 times in the middle of the night. Think of that happened one time. It happened one time in our house with a tornado warning in the middle of the night. I'll never forget. It was like 1:30 in the morning. And it scared the crap out of the kids. We went down the basement. We were sitting on the floor beside a couch at a reinforced wall. Because there was a tornado warning. That was one.
She loves it hot. He loves it cool. The Pod by 8 Sleep is a smart mattress cover that fits on your bed and keeps each side at the perfect temperature all night long. By staying comfortably warm or cool, the Pod helps you sleep deeper and wake up feeling more rested. Every morning, you get daily health insights and a sleep fitness score. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze. Let's love.
Think of one night that happening three times. And then again tonight. And again. And again. Do you hear what she said? Half the damn country's in the reserves. In the military. It's amazing. 10 million people. It's like Manhattan. It's amazing. Their will. And it's them against everyone. She said something poignant. They want to be left alone. That can't happen. I love her. I love her resolve. I love their resolve. I love their family commitment. I love everything about them. But everyone around them hates them and wants them the hell out of there. From Hamas to Hezbollah, you name it, they hate them. To Iran, you name it, find an enemy. But they continue, man, because they believe. I'm amazed. Bombs bursting all around them. Oh, we went down and got some takeout, huh? 20 people jammed into a safe room. Oh, well. Always on alert. But did you hear what she said? Always happy. Always with family. Always in prayer. Always committed. It's wonderful, wonderful. And I get these nasty comments. You're a Zionist and screw them and I hate Jews. Go away. Shoo fly. I will never, ever change my resolve that they're the greatest, greatest, most powerful in terms of size country on earth. And the resolve is unmatched. And the unified force of love and faith and family is unmatched. It's absolutely astounding. And I'm so grateful for Jen. She's been amazing. Trying to find out if they're making any progress at the Community College of Beaver County. They've been shut down. Their computers have been hacked. And oh, it's this crazy thing. It's Iranians. These cyber attacks. What is it they do, Patrick? How does that work?
So it depends on the type of attack. So yeah. what we're talking about in the case of the Community College of Beaver County, it's an encryption attack. So they get into their servers and their systems, and they encrypt all the data. So essentially, they can't get into their systems unless they pay a ransom. So
in fact, they say college has experienced a cybersecurity incident that included the encryption of some of our data. In other words, someone has their data and they ain't giving it back. They won't unscramble it until they pay.
Exactly. It's kind of behind lock and key until, you know, either someone breaks their encryption or they wipe it and start over.
And some people have paid millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Millions. Hospitals, governments.
TV stations, radio stations, newspapers, yep. Water authorities, electric companies.
All of the above.
The vice president of communications is actually very cool. She said, we're working around the clock with professionals to secure our system. We don't even know what's been impacted. They're on spring break, but they're coming back Monday. Someone better get something going. By the way, I'm not suggesting anything critical. This happens to a lot of really good companies. It's not as if they're dummies. It just happens, right?
Exactly. And there was some speculation that it could be tied to Iran.
Yep, we heard that.
You know, we don't know that for certain,
no,
but there's another company, this came out just a little while ago, called Stryker out in Michigan. They believe Iranian hackers have taken over their systems. And in that case, they did what they call a wiper attack. That means they get in there and they delete everything. So this company, they can't even use their
phones.
What's
their end game? If
it cripples that company.
Yeah, I know, but
cause chaos.
But it's not as if they're not holding something they got to give back. Why wouldn't they say we're going to hold it until you pay us instead of just destroying it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of this is a one-way deal. They obviously. Come in and they just kill your stuff and they move on.
It's crazy. So we'll let you know with the Community College of Beaver County. They're great people. They have great programs, and this sucks, and it's horribly difficult. It's happened at most of the TV stations in this market and a lot of the radio stations, crippled for a week. And funny how these issues reach media. So the segment of the show, The Pit, their last couple episodes dealt with cybersecurity attacks in hospitals. So they shut everything down and everything goes on paper, old-fashioned paper, and how difficult it is to use fax machines and write everything down when they take away your computers. It's crazy. World's greatest plumber, my man Ken, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
So, couple things. Have things slowed down since the big freeze and the pipes bursting?
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit. I mean, we were working, 14, 16-hour days then, and now we're back down to, around the normal 10 or 12. Still seeing some damage, broken pipes, stuff like that. Not as much as, when the big freeze hit.
And so your workload has slowed down?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
Excellent. Help me out. You're the guy. So you have a daughter, right?
I do. Yep. Yeah. And senior in high school.
Yep. And you took her on a trip to Disney. You have gone several times.
Yes, I love Disney. I'm the world's biggest Disney fan. Probably too much.
Spent like $4 million your entire retirement at Disney, haven't you, Ken?
I don't know if it's that much. I mean, I don't make more Griffin kind of money, but come on now.
So
it's not cheap. Let's put it that way.
This guy, there's this convenience store chain called Buc-ee's, right? Ken?
I love Buc-ee's.
How far out of your way did you drive to take your daughter to Buc-ee's?
About 100 miles.
100 miles out of your way. To go to a convenience store.
Yeah. To a convenience store just so she could get the beef nuggets.
This is why I love this man.
I mean, I will do anything for my children. I mean, you're the same way, Marty.
That's why I love this man. I ain't going to Buc-ee's, brother. How was Buc-ee's, Ken?
It was good. I mean, it's a gas station, but they have like a cult following.
Huge cult following.
If it makes the wife happy and the kids happy, then I'll do it.
Okay. And we're boys. We go way back. I love the man. We talk all the time. If I'm in there, I'm making fun of the fact that we're there and kind of hacked off because I'm just saying, hey, Ken, this sucks. It's a convenience store, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I'm kind of the same way, but I'll go there and I'll still spend $200 on stuff I don't need,
Hey, my man, it becomes a phenomenon when a community gets one, doesn't it? I mean, it gets crazy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, there's people that, you wear a Buc-ee's hoodie or something around here, and they're like, oh, which one did you go to? I can't wait till the one in Ohio opens or whatever. It's crazy.
And does it make sense when you're in there?
I mean, not really.
No. Patrick, have you been? I haven't ever been. Have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, does it make sense?
The first time I went in there, I understood. I mean, there's Buc-ee's everything. My kid has a pair of Buc-ee's swim trunks. You name it, there's Buc-ee's on it. Now, I got to say, if you like beef jerky, you do have to stop at a Buc-ee's.
Okay, that's enough. Hey, Ken.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of kids, tell us this event you guys have, because I love it and I love you. What do you got going?
So this weekend is my daughter's high school musical for Highlands High School. And this year they're doing Legally Blonde, and she's playing the inmate, Brooke Wyndham, which is kind of cool. I always thought my younger daughter would be the first one I saw in a prison uniform, but apparently it's not going to be.
And when is it and where?
It's at Highlands High School in Natrona Heights. Yeah. Friday, Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday a matinee show at 2. $12, great afternoon. Nice. I mean, these kids have been working for 4 months, perfecting these lines. Yep. And, these are the kids that aren't starring out on the football field. So this is their Super Bowl,
I love it. I absolutely love it. And you're my man, Buc-ee's or not. Thanks, brother.
All right, love you, bud. Right, have a good one.
Thanks. He is really one of the nicest guys I've ever known. He did a plumbing job at my house. This is a true story. He left a $100 bill on the counter and said, you can't do it alone. He's that great. He really did. And he wants to help. I love the man. He's an unbelievable father and a great, great friend. All right, folks, CBS Live, active shooter at a synagogue. Crazy situation outside of Detroit, Michigan. Listen to CBS right now.
A lot of it is rumor. Yes, they've heard maybe the shooter was taken down, but we also hear from sources at the FBI that saying a shooter might still be on the loose. Everything remains on lockdown, I'm told, also because of the potential for accomplices. And are there any other people working with this gunman, driver? We don't know. We know that West Bloomfield, Michigan is home to a very strong Jewish community. About a third of the population there is Jewish. This is also one of the largest synagogues in the country. So what is happening here is going to reverberate among Jewish communities across the country.
Yeah, that's for sure, Jonah. And I let our viewers know sometimes the best thing you can say in a situation is you don't know. And there is a lot we don't know at this time, but we do know you've got smoke pouring out of this large Reformed Jewish community in West Bloomfield, Michigan. You've got the sheriff saying there was a shooter, there was a ramming, shots were fired, and there's now a shelter in place and a very significant police turnout. But we do reiterate, we don't know who is responsible for this incident in West Bloomfield, and we don't know if it's tied to the unfolding situation in the Middle East, but we are monitoring it. And I want to bring in Anna Schechter, who is our crime and public safety producer, part of that unit. What stands out to you with what we're learning so far, and what more do you want to know?
Well, listen, we're less than a week out from this incident in New York City, where we had two ISIS-inspired individuals allegedly throw these IEDs on the Upper East Side, not something you usually see on the Upper East Side. That just happened. Now we're seeing this. In fact, there was another shooting just a couple of hours ago at a university in Norfolk, Virginia. It just seems like this is what a heightened threat environment looks like. It's not just a heightened threat environment. This is an active attack environment that we're in right now. It's really remarkable, Tony.
It's a remarkable picture to see on a Thursday morning.
Yep.
In the United States of America. Let's go back to Scott McFarland, who's got new information on this. Scott?
Let's start off with the new FBI statement just issued by the director of the FBI, saying FBI personnel are on the scene now with their law enforcement partners in Michigan, responding to the apparent vehicle ramming and active shooting situation at Temple Israel Synagogue in West Bloomfield. FBI, by nature, if not by rule, responds to potential shooting incidents or to any targeting of a religious facility. It's no surprise they're there. But you have to also open the question here, because the sheriff hasn't been very clear there was a shooter, but that there was a shooting. This raises the prospect that somebody may have been attacking the temple in that vehicle, and perhaps somebody in security or otherwise may have tried to stop the person in the vehicle. So we're not terribly certain right now that there's a shooter, but that there was a shooting, but nobody inside the facility was injured or has been killed by this, according to what the sheriff has said. Nevertheless, there's clearly a federal investigation in addition to the local investigation of what happened and where is the person believed responsible for this.
Yeah, you see a school bus in the background. Scott, thank you very much for the pictures we're looking at. There's a reunification center. There were kids on site. There were teachers on site. We're told they've been taken off site and are gathering. And as we look for new information here, we have a tweet from the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, who says she's tracking these reports. She refers to the incident overall as heartbreaking. Michigan's Jewish community should be able to live and practice their faith in peace. Anti-Semitism and violence have no place in Michigan, and she is hoping for everyone's safety. Anna Schechter is still with me. Anna, you mentioned the broader context here.
Yeah. So we had a shooting in Austin, and we had a man who had a history of mental health issues, but who was wearing an Iranian regime flag on his person at the time of an attack, a deadly attack in Austin. That was right after the launch of this war with Iran. And then several days later, you have this incident in New York City. Now this, less than a week later, you have apparently an attack on one of the largest synagogues in the country. So this is very concerning. And, you know, when I talk to counterterrorism officials, they are always looking, combing through. Their main job is looking for red flags online, looking in Telegram, looking on all the social media platforms.
All right, great reporting by CBS. We'll stay on top of this. Obviously, it's a developing situation. Colin's next.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.